Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Good evening, and welcome to the show. Today is July 15th, 2015. The markets were down today, the Dow closing at 18,050, the NASDAQ at 5,098, and the S&P at 2107. This week, we're talking about financial planning for recent college grads with our guest, Michael Martin, a financial consultant with Charles Schwab in Philadelphia. He's also a certified financial planner. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. Again, we're discussing the financial planning for recent college graduates. My guest is Michael Martin, CFP, that's Certified Financial Planner of Charles Schwab. He has over 14 years of experience in financial planning, and again, he's a financial consultant in their Philadelphia office. Welcome to the show, Michael. Well,
thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I appreciate you having me on the show. I'm originally from Philadelphia. I spent my whole life in that area and married, have two beautiful little girls, and they keep me very, very busy. As you mentioned, I work with Charles Schwab in Philadelphia. I write on Market Street. We offer a wide range of investment options for personal investment guidance, tools, and resources. I really love what I do. I get to meet so many interesting people over time. And when you think about all of the different walks of life people come from, it doesn't matter whether you have you're just starting out or you have a lot of money. Everybody needs financial planning. It's a skill that's important to everybody. And that's what attracted me to this career, is that it can really improve people's confidence in life and lead to better outcomes.
And how did you start in this career? Because you told me the story, and I want to make sure we get this on the air.
Yeah, and she's probably listening. I had an aunt when I was in college, and she said, "Look, you know, one of these days you're going to have to learn about money." And so, as an intern at Penn State, I took the opportunity to do an internship with a financial services company, and 14 years later, here I am.
That's great, great. And so, we are going to be talking about, in particular, college grads, and it's probably that time of year, July 15th. We probably could have even talked about this maybe even a couple months ago, but tonight we have the opportunity to do this. So we're going to talk about ways to help college grads, recent college grads, I would even say people new in careers, think about how they can get started, what do they have to pay attention to, etc. So when we think of recent college graduates doing financial planning, some might scoff and think, what is there to plan when you don't have any money? Because I know for me, when I was first out of college, I didn't have any money. But that really is a disservice to this part of the population. So I'd like to talk tonight about some financial planning ideas to help college graduates, or again, really anyone starting off in their career, if they haven't done so already. How do they start taking charge of their financial life? So can we some folks might have learned from their parents. Sometimes they haven't learned from their parents. So what kind of ideas can we help give?
Yeah, every college grad enters the world of independence with a different story and a different understanding of personal finance. It's rare that the average person, let alone a college student, is going to understand the full spectrum of saving and investing and planning for retirement and which accounts are going to be right for them to open.
And they don't have aunts who are telling them to go into this field as well, which, you know, I try to tell everybody I meet, all these college grads, go into this, go, you know, accounting, financial services. I think it's a great field. So let's talk about ways, though, that parents sometimes can help their children when they're young develop an understanding of financial responsibility. You said you have a couple kids. And the reason I thought it would be a good place to start, because our listener audience is diverse. It's not just college graduates listening, but maybe parents who might be in a place where they can make a difference for their kids. What kind of ideas might we have for them?
Well, starting them when they're young, I mean, getting their children's attention when they talk about finances, you have to make it real. You have to make it tangible, something that they can get involved with. And the first experience that kids usually have with money is their piggy banks. And, you know, then it usually starts with an allowance. But you have to tie it to something specific. You have to give them a goal of what are they going to spend that money on, whether it's, you know, my older daughter in school, she's spending it on lunch money. And at the end of the week when there's nothing left, and it's like, well, you have to budget it out. And so gas money, clothing, entertainment, whatever the case might be, it helps them learn, it helps them budget, it helps them prioritize. And then as they get better at managing their money, then you can introduce them to investing. Again, involving in the process. And again, one of the bigger goals that people are going to have when they have young children is college education and how to save for that. And I'd say even involve them in that. Get them to have input as far as how much to put away each month and how it's going to grow over time. And it doesn't have to be for long-term goals. It could even be short-term goals, like saving for a family vacation.
Mm-hmm. Well, even my son, for example, when my kids were little, we would say they would get birthday money. And we would say, okay, half the birthday money goes into the bank, and the other half of the birthday money, you can decide how you're going to spend it. So if they wanted an Xbox from mom and dad, we would say, you have your own money if you want to buy the Xbox. And all of a sudden, they don't need those things as much as they thought they needed them when it's coming out of their own, you know, bank account. And what was nice for our kids, that money they saved then, I have one daughter who's already graduated and one who's in college now, the money that they saved when they were younger from that birthday money that they set aside, that's the money they've used for their spending money in college. So it actually worked out quite well.
Yeah, a lot of parents will do this through the use of a custodial account, and they can control that until the child turns 21. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's financial literacy is more about money. It's about values, and good money management requires responsibility and resourcefulness.
Mm-hmm. And those conversations can mature as the children mature. So as you said, they start with the piggy bank, and then maybe they go into maybe thinking about, even when they're in middle school, start thinking about what kind of college they want to go to. If you're talking about college savings, you can start talking about what is a public school cost, what is a private school cost, what do the kids think that they want. So lots of background on parents and parents helping set their kids up for financial responsibility and things like that. But there are cases where parents aren't always the best role models, or they don't have conversations with their children, which may put, you know, the children at risk for reaching their goals and being successful financially. So we have like 1 minute before our first break, Mike, but I want to start with talking about two situations that college grads may find themselves in, and that is there's going to be students that have loans and students that don't have loans. So when we come back from our first break, I want to talk about that. So tonight, folks, we are talking about financial planning for recent college graduates. My guest is Michael Martin, certified financial planner of Charles Schwab. He's a financial consultant in their Philadelphia office. And we are talking about financial planning for recent college grads, and that could include parents with, you know, who need ideas of how to educate their children and financial literacy, etc. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810, and we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Michael Martin, Certified Financial Planner of Charles Schwab in the Philadelphia office. We are talking about financial planning for recent college graduates. This is important information, not only for those recent college graduates, but maybe someone who's just even starting your career. Maybe folks who haven't done all that they need to for financial planning and financial readiness. So it's going to be applicable to a lot of folks, not just recent college grads, but we're focusing on them tonight because we're talking about some other things that may affect them, such as student loans. So Michael, before the break, I said we may have cases where some students come out of college with student loans and some come out of college without student loans. So there might be some differences for them in how they're preparing for their financial future.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, some parents may have pre-planned and covered their children's education, and that's great. You get the kids off to a great start, but let's face it, college is expensive, and student loans exist for a reason. That's why they're there for use, and not everyone is going to have the means to cover 100% of the cost, so a lot of times you're getting a student loan to cover a part of the cost, and so you can use income, you can use some savings, but at the end of the day, that's why student loans exist. But either way, recent college grads are going to have very similar priorities when it comes to saving and investing.
Okay, so we're going to talk about those opportunities in a minute. Folks, if you have questions this evening, you can talk live on air with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. Judy Ann's in the studio. She'll take your question and write it down and bring it into the studio so that we can read it off, or we'll patch you through and you can talk live with us. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So we talked about some kids will come out with loans, some won't. Either way, they have opportunities ahead of them. So they're going into their careers. What do they have in store?
Yeah, anyone who's starting a new job and earning a paycheck has the ability to save and invest. And those without student loans will obviously have a little bit more to save and invest because they don't have the monthly payments with the loans. But saving should still be a top priority for everybody. And to make it easier, make it automatic. Have it set up where it comes out of your paycheck automatically to a checking account and to a savings account. A lot of times your employer can direct your paycheck to two different places. If you have everything go into a checking, you can direct it on a monthly basis. Have everything go from checking to savings or to an investment account. But the more you can make it happen automatically, then it's less that you'll have to manually do each month. It makes it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that later as we go into the show with also doing that with retirement mm-hmm. accounts. So as we go through the show. But in order to save, how do they control their spending? Is there ways to...
They have to track their spending. Budgeting is one of the most important things that anyone should be doing, and it's usually the first chapter of any financial planning textbook is cash management. You talked about on your show a couple weeks ago about cash flow management and knowing where your money's going, and so do it for 30 days. Use a spreadsheet, a smartphone, a tablet, whatever technology you feel comfortable, and figure out where your money's actually going, and then you can get a better handle on what your spending habits are. You can figure out what's left, and then you can figure out, okay, well, how much do you have to actually save?
When what I frequently tell people is those folks who have money, or no, who think they have money usually don't, and those who think they don't have money usually do, and the people who track what they spend are the ones who really have the money. Because when you're really, really tracking it really makes a big difference. So you said track it whatever way is going to work for you, because obviously finding a system that works for you is going to make it that much easier.
Yeah, stick with it. Right.
Okay. So they could be smart about ways to cut costs and save more?
Yeah, by budgeting, and knowing how much you spend. So what you do is you keep track of what your expenses are. So you think about your student loan payments. You think about your rent, your life events, like friends' weddings. You think about vacations that you have coming up. And once you figure out where all your outflows are going, then you can say, okay, here's what's left. And you can set that up to go into a savings account on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. And I think that even being smart with your money, sometimes it might mean having a roommate, thinking about what costs can you cut.
How to share.
Share.
My sister, actually, she's living in Center City, Philadelphia, and she had four or five different roommates, and they're splitting the costs, and it just makes it a lot more affordable.
Yeah. So you got to be smart about how you're thinking about spending the money. And I'm glad you mentioned the show on cash flow management, because I think I had mentioned that. Speaking of which, their podcasts are available on WDIY.org if you want to listen to a prior show. So if kids who come out of school with student loans have a leg up on those who don't, what can you suggest to help the kids with the loans catch up?
Paying off student loans might seem daunting when you're first starting out. You get your first job and you think, how are you going to pay down this massive debt? And it's just start as soon as you can and don't miss a payment. Student loans are generally low interest. I'd say, to start off, just make the minimum payments, stay current. And that'll allow you to focus on other savings priorities before you think about starting to pay that down. Remember, student loans aren't necessarily a bad thing on your credit report, as long as your payments are current and on time. And if you are paying off your student loans and you're also contributing to a retirement account, you're on your way.
So you're suggesting that by starting off with at least the minimum amount, like you said, the interest rate is low, you start off with the minimum payments, it kind of gives them a little bit of flexibility in what they're going to be able to focus on for saving in other vehicles. So the retirement account is one.
Mm-hmm. A lot of folks will think, especially young adults will think that paying down student loans would be a priority over paying for retirement. I know it seems like it's such a far ways away, but it is very, very important to plan for your own retirement. If you think about the way it used to be with a lot of corporations, they would have defined benefit plans, and a lot of companies would have pensions. You work for a company for 30 years, you retire, you get a pension. Nowadays, that burden is now on the individual. Defined contribution plans are now taking over. So the onus and responsibility is now on us as individuals to plan for our own retirements and to make sure that we're secure. So at Schwab, we came up with what's called our savings fundamentals, and sort of a hierarchy, a way to prioritize which accounts do you start saving in first. And so as we talked about, retirement account, if your employer offers a retirement savings plan, a profit sharing, or 401k, a lot of times if you put money into the account, they'll put money in as well. They'll match your contributions. So our first place that we suggest you put your money into is that company retirement plan, at least up to the full match. It's free money. It's 100% rate of return. And when you're younger, when you're in your 20s, I'd probably say maybe even doing a little bit more, because it's when you first get your paycheck, it's harder to increase that percentage over time. It's easier to start off with a higher percentage, because then you won't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try to start off with a low amount and try to increase it over time, you get used to spending that extra money, and then trying to increase your 401k percentage later is harder.
That's a great point. And when my husband and I, we were married, quite young, and he decided to get his MBA at the University of Michigan. Thought I'd push, I get that University of Michigan name in there. And I was working there. I was working at the University of Michigan, and they matched 2-1. And I was young, and we had student loans, and I was worried about paying those, that I didn't do the contribution into my retirement account. And I completely missed out on that 2-for-1 match. And, young people out there, a lot of times, they think they can't afford to do that because they want to buy the new car. They want to buy the fancy apartment. But really, it should be a priority because it is free money. You're not going to get it again. And in fact, I think you mentioned defined benefit plans. Pensions have gone by the wayside for the most part. Defined contribution plans, the employer match may end up going away at some point. So anytime that is available, it's a good idea to take advantage of it. So that's some of the best advice you're going to hear tonight, is if there's an employer match, and that's for anybody, not just recent grads. But the idea with the recent grads is you're not used to having money already. So just keep being used to not having money and save for retirement. We're coming up on our second break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Have you recently received a letter in the mail asking you to renew your WDIY membership? If so, we need to hear from you today. It's your member support that allows us to bring you NPR news, local public affairs, and hand-picked music every day of the week. Please send us your check with the included reply envelope, and we thank you.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. And I have with me in the studio Michael Martin, CFP and financial consultant with Schwab in Center City, Philadelphia. So we are talking about financial planning for recent college graduates, and so much of this applies to just really any of us in general, talking about some financial planning ideas. We've talked a bit about coming out of school with loans or not loans. We've talked about parents kind of paving the way for financial literacy when children are young, giving them some ideas. We've talked about budgeting, watching what you're saving. And we had mentioned that folks who do budget and kind of watch what they save really are really positioned quite well to accumulate funds for their retirement, for their investments, for saving, etc. So saving, budgeting.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the University of Michigan, I actually saw a study last week that showed that Americans who created financial plans and most importantly, who actually stuck with them, they ended up with an average total net worth three times higher than those who don't. And so a financial plan is crucial to long-term financial success. And as we were talking about the savings fundamentals, after somebody contributes to their 401k retirement plan up to the company match, the next place that we would suggest someone start to invest would be actually not into an investment account, but just the opposite, would be to start paying down their debts. And in this particular case, we're talking about bad debts. And there are good debts out there. There's, you know, mortgages and student loans, and those are in the category of good debts because they're typically tax deductible. They're typically lower interest. And if you're making the minimum payments on those, it helps build your credit. But the second place we would suggest putting your money is to pay off those bad debts, those credit cards, the high interest personal loans. And if you think about those, a good strategy would be to prioritize and order them in the list of highest interest rates down to the lowest interest rates. And you take all the money on your personal loans and you pay the minimum balance except that highest loan. And you pay extra as much as you can. And when that one gets done, you take all the payments towards that and then put it to the next highest loan.
Highest interest rate loan.
And you just keep going down the list until you get to the bottom, and it's going to take a while. It's not going to be something that's going to happen overnight.
I have heard some folks talk about a strategy of, instead of paying off the highest interest rate, they talk about paying off the smallest loan, because they said it somehow gives people a psychological lift in feeling like they've accomplished something by paying off a small loan. I have continued to advocate for paying off the highest interest rate loan. I can't bring myself to say, you know, pay off that tiny loan that's the lowest rate. So if you have a $500 loan with like 2% interest and you have a $20,000 credit card with 25%, I still want them to pay the higher interest rate loan. But there is some psychological case for paying off smaller loans to make people feel like they've accomplished something. But so, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not.
I mean, if it's all in one big basket, it's all money that is accruing interest. So
right. Yeah, I like paying off the higher interest rates at first. We had a caller call in off air. We had Brittany call in, and she had a question. She said she's currently working with a company that has a pension plan. So, Mike, you had mentioned that companies, you know, used to have, we saw more of defined benefit plan. A defined benefit is a benefit paid to someone after they retire. It's defined. Defined contribution is what we think about for 401ks. Our contributional limits are defined. So Brittany had a pension plan, has a pension plan, lucky her. What happens if that company ceases to exist, and what happens to her pension?
That's a great question.
Okay, so what we have, what happens if the company ceases to exist, Brittany, is typically what you might see is a pension plan, a defined pension benefit plan, would, there is some security around the pension benefit guarantee corporation. So, for example, Bethlehem Steel went out of business, and the pension benefit guarantee corporation stepped in and made sure that that pension was paid out to those retirees. There was a bit of a discount to some of those benefits because I think the Bethlehem Steel hadn't quite fully funded it the way it needed to be funded. So there was a bit of a discount on some of the benefits that people received. But if, for example, something happens where they go bankrupt and they don't have the monies in the pension benefit guarantee corporation steps in. Sometimes if a company is sold or merged with another company, then there's some negotiations around the pension benefits. Maybe it's rolled into some other, like you might have a lump sum option, or it's rolled over into a different cash benefit kind of plan. So if the company ceases to exist, it depends on why it's ceasing to exist. A new company may take over that pension again, or they may roll it over into a, you know, 401k or something like that. You may be given a lump sum option where you would roll it over into a 401k if you did, or roll it over into an IRA if you didn't want to be taxed on it. So right now, and I don't know if this is something that you're experiencing, Alcatel-Lucent has recently sent their employees, their retirees, a package saying that you have some options. They are, and I don't haven't seen the package, but this may be what this is relating to, where you may have some options as far as whether or not the pension continues, or you take a lump sum amount, which is typically rolled over into an IRA, or a annuity benefit. So what happens to your pension? It depends on a number of circumstances, so I can't give you a flat answer. There's any number of scenarios that may happen, okay? But a lot of companies are moving away from pensions and offering people lump sum payouts, which typically, if you roll over to a rollover IRA, you can avoid immediate income taxation on a lump sum payment.
And that may actually happen without even the company going out of business. They could be
right.
Going along just fine, but they just want to switch from that defined benefit to the defined contribution, and they'll allow you to take, here's your pension benefit that you've accrued to this point, and you take it and roll it over.
Right. So that's a good point too. All right. Thanks for the call, Brittany. If folks have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We're talking to Michael Martin, CFP, tonight, talking about financial planning for recent college graduates. But as I've mentioned, it could be, you know, people new in their career, just great financial planning topics and tips. So we've talked about making sure that if you have money available in your cash flow, that you for sure take advantage of any company matching in an employer retirement account, that if you have 401ks, 403bs, where employers are offering a match, and a match is typically if I put in 6% of my pay, my company might match that 6% with a 3% match, and that's free money. Sometimes if I do 3, they'll do 3. If I do 6, sometimes they'll do 6. It all depends on each employer's plan description. So you want to make sure that you review your summary plan document, and those are usually given when you sign up as a participant in your employer retirement plan. So you'll want to make sure you understand if you're going to qualify for employer matching. Some plans put money in even without you putting that money in. So we do definitely want to make sure that you take advantage of that free money, starting off young and old as well. Either way, we want you to get that free money. We're going to talk about more options that you have available as we go through the rest of the show. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Michael Martins, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner from Schwab in Center City, Philadelphia. And we are talking about financial planning for recent college graduates. And again, I'd like to keep reminding people all of these tips help not just recent college graduates, but all of us. And we've gone over some of the saving strategies, making sure you have a budget, make sure you're doing financial planning. This is all part of financial planning, doing your budget, looking at your cash flow, making sure you're participating in retirement savings, paying off debts. This is all part of financial planning. It's always good to have goals, know where you're going. So, Michael, you were talking about some of the strategies involved in this. So,
yeah, so the hierarchy in which you would start to put your funds to work. And so we talked about the first thing was maximizing your 401k plan through your employer to take advantage of that company match, the free money that we don't want to leave out there on the table. Next, we talked about paying down the bad debt, which is the credit cards and the personal loans that are non-deductible interest, typically higher rates. Surprisingly enough, third would actually be the emergency fund, and some folks will say, why wouldn't we try to get emergency fund higher? And the thought is, if we have a credit card out there that has 20% interest that we're paying, and we have, you know, a couple thousand dollars sitting in a checking account earning nothing, might as well take that and pay it off, because if you're paying, the more money you're putting towards interest is less money that you can actually have to save. So we would have an emergency fund come in after that, pay off your debts first. After you have that emergency fund, and an emergency fund typically is 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses. It's going to be different for everyone. If you if you're married and two spouses are working, maybe it could be a little less than if there's only one spouse working, or if I've seen cases where husband and wife both working for the same company. You know, maybe that's a case where you want to have a larger emergency fund, because anything happens with a company, you can't rely on that other person's spouse, because the company no longer exists and maybe you're both out of work.
That's a great point.
So, after creating the emergency fund, then we go back to sort of the retirement again. And there's a big focus on retirement. We've talked about, why it's important to save for the future, even at a young age. So you go back to the 401k. You try to go up to the IRS maximum limits. You try to max out your IRA accounts.
And I like to always mention the tax side of that, too. Paying attention to the tax savings or tax cost of that as well. So when you have people who are in the 25% tax bracket or higher, deferral is great. You're getting a deduction for that. But let's say someone's in a low tax bracket, or maybe they're, make so little income, or they have the deductions, maybe they're not paying any income tax, or they're in a 15% tax bracket. Are they going to save in the retirement account the same way, or max the retirement account the same way someone who's in a high tax bracket might be?
Well, a lot of companies nowadays are offering Roth 401k plans, and those are relatively newer, but those are fantastic. They work just like a Roth IRA. But with a 401k, it has much larger annual contributions, and the funds come out tax-free in retirement.
Okay. And we're going to... Oh, and John has a question.
Are you permitting me to have a question?
Sure, John.
Wonderful. Mike mentioned the emergency funds. And I think that's something that many people don't think about, don't have. And I wonder, is there a rule of thumb? How much money should I have in my emergency fund?
That's a great question. And the way that you figure it out, it's going to be different for everyone. So it's not, you know, everybody should have this much money set aside in the emergency fund. It goes back to what I was talking about a little earlier in your budget. Figure out what is it that you actually spend in a month. Figure out everything from the essential expenses to your discretionary expenses and add that up. The idea of an emergency fund is, what if something happened to your income and you needed to cover those expenses? Well, rather than having to sell an investment, rather than having to take money out of your retirement account and have taxes and penalties,
Or put it on a credit card
where you're going to now pay a bunch of interest, this would be a vehicle that you can use completely tax-free. It's there when you go to get it. And so we would typically say 3 to 6 months. So you add up your expenses, multiply by 3 or 6. Some people like to have a year worth of cash. So it depends on your comfort level as well, how much you spend.
And depending on the economy too, John, I think what happens sometimes, we used to kind of see more of a rule of thumb of 3 months. And then I think when the economy was taking so long to turn around and we saw so many people affected with job, you know, reduction, we started saying 6 months at least. And then, as Mike mentioned, some people are very conservative and like a year. But 6 months is kind of a nice number, because if you include the discretionary expenses in that number, that gives you a little padding, because it's the non-discretionary amounts that you have to make sure you cover. So if you're someone who was also eating out and, you know, had nice cars and different things like that, your non-discretionary spending might have been a little higher. You plan for that. And then if you're in an emergency, that 6 months of savings, which included both discretionary and non-discretionary, gives you a little padding, because you maybe can control whether you're going out to eat or what vacations you're taking. So it kind of gives you a little padding there too. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. We were talking about the saving fundamentals, if that's what you call them in Schwab. I keep forgetting the term. But or the hierarchy. Saving hierarchy. So we talked about getting the match with the employer, paying off high cost debt, and then maybe putting more in your retirement accounts. You mentioned the Roth 401k. So I just want to go over that for a minute. Folks may not be as familiar with that, and not all employers may offer it. So again, back to what I mentioned, the document is called the summary plan description. You want to ask when you first are a participant in a retirement account, you want to get a copy of that summary plan description. You want to read it, understand it, and know, does your employer offer that as an option? So you could have a 401k regular option or a Roth 401k option. And then you want to say, does it make sense for me to, of course, do it to get your match, but then does it make sense for me to put some amount in the Roth 401k piece? It's not that you can do the maximum amount to each. It's, if the maximum amount in 2015,
$18,000,
then you can do 9 and 9 or 10 and 8 or 11 and 7, but you can't do 18 and 18. So you can kind of allocate how much you want to do to each of those features if they're both available, and depending on your tax situation. So some folks might want to do enough to get their tax bracket down to 15%, and then maybe at that point they want to put the rest of their contribution in the Roth 401k feature. So there's a lot of planning, again, involved with that. But what did Mike tell us earlier, where planning gets us? The University of Michigan study said.
Yeah, I think it was three times net worth higher than those who didn't plan.
Okay, so this is the fun part of financial planning. This is the part that amps up your success chances in retirement. Mike, some people are familiar with Roth IRAs outside of a 401k. What are their opportunities there, and might they do a Roth IRA outside of the 401k? Instead of doing it through the 401k, do it outside of that.
Yeah, so if the company is going to offer a 401k match, I would say do it there first because they're going to give the free money. But if they don't, or if you have additional funds to save, contributing to a Roth IRA is a great option. You can contribute a maximum of $5,500 into an IRA, into a Roth. And the benefit to a Roth IRA is that the contributions go in after tax. So it's not giving you an immediate tax deduction, but what's happening is all the earnings, all the dividends, all the growth, anytime you make a trade, there's no taxes until you retire. And so after 59 and a half, assuming you've had the account for at least 5 years, all the money comes out tax-free. And one of the things that not a lot of folks know about a Roth IRA is that if you're 20, 25, 40, whatever age you are, you actually have access to the principal at any time. So no taxes, no penalties. So for example, if I put in $5,000 into an IRA and it grows to $7,000, the $5,000 that I put in is available to me at any time. I can take it, no questions asked. You have to file a tax return, obviously, and report it, but there's no taxes, there's no penalties. It's my money. I've already paid taxes on it. It's mine free and clear. The $2,000 of earnings is really what has to stay in there until the 59 and a half, so you avoid the penalty on the taxes and the earnings.
Right. So when we're talking about young people, ideas for recent grads, this is a great way to save.
Oh, the time value of money is really going to show, that the longer you have to save, the better off you'll be. There was a study that was done. Let's say you start at age 20 and you begin investing $3,000 each year for retirement. At 65, if you multiply 20 years, 3,000, at age 60 or 45 years at 3,000 each, you've invested a total of $135,000. Now, if you assume a 6% average rate of return, you've accumulated something around $650,000 by your age of 65. If you waited instead to start saving until age 45, saved that same $3,000, saved at the same 6% rate of return, went to the same age of 65, so again, we're starting later, you've contributed $60,000 and accumulated about $110,000. So even though you had invested $75,000 more by starting earlier, you had accumulated more than $500,000 more overall.
Wow. So, and that was $3,000 a year?
$3,000 each
year. $3,000 a year. So, and that started at age 20 to age 65. So, our young folks who are just either graduating or have just graduated, saving $3,000 a year before you realize you have that money to spend, as we said earlier, you start saving it if you earn an average rate of return at 6%. It doesn't mean you're going to earn 6% every year, and we can talk about that in a minute, but the average rate of return, they would have at age 65, $600,000+.
Right.
Okay, that's powerful. That's what we're talking about, and that's compounding, folks. So the longer you save and you let your money start working for you, the greater chances you have of saving and accumulating that money. Okay, so we've talked about IRAs, we've talked about Roth IRAs, we've talked about 401ks. Let's talk a little bit about people's first kind of forays into investing is typically through retirement accounts, and sometimes those retirement accounts have something called target date funds. I see some people going into the target date funds because they don't want to have to think about it, and they just want to do it and set it aside and not think.
Yeah, target date funds, and these can be identified usually in the name of the fund. You'll see a fund called the 2030 fund or 2040, 2050, and that number is identifying the year in which you want to retire. And these are great solutions for many investors, for young people just starting out, to others who maybe personalized advice isn't an option. In a target fund, you usually get a diversified portfolio, professionally managed. They're usually low cost. They're automatically rebalanced, so they're typically a very good hands-off type of solution. Not all target funds are the same, though. You see a lot of companies will have these now, and with a lot of companies, the 401k company, for example, this will be the default option. So if you don't pick anything, you automatically get a target fund. But just because it has a 2030 or 2040, that's purely based on your age. And so I'd also suggest seeing if there might be other options, might be a little bit more personalized, available based on all of your unique circumstances. A lot of 401ks now offer some type of personalized advice that you can get at either no cost or low cost, and they can even run calculations for you that can give you specific savings rates and how much you should be saving each year. But target funds are very popular.
Okay, so it could be a piece that they use in their portfolio. It doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily suggested that they use it as the only choice. And so you've got to be a little bit smart, kind of. And let's talk about that when we come back from our next break. Some of the investment information that people need to know when they go into kind of working with 401ks or IRAs and doing things on their own. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Michael Martin from Schwab. Phone number 610-758-8810.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're tuned to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM, and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. This is Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. 78 degrees now in the Lehigh Valley. Tonight, a 30% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m. with a low around 59. Tomorrow, Thursday, sunny with a high near 81. Thursday night, a low of 59. And Friday, just a bit warmer. 84 is our high with sunshine. Friday night, a 30% chance of showers after midnight with a low around 65. Saturday, day and night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny on Saturday with a high of 87 and a low of 69. Lori, a very wise kindergarten teacher told parents of the little ones years ago, when it's a rainy day and it's not sunny out there, don't start the day. Oh, what a lousy day. It's good for the plants.
I heard you saying it all morning, John.
All right. Thank you for being a faithful listener. Put a silver lining on it. You know, we want the grass to grow. Well, do you have to mow grass, Mike?
I do.
Maybe you don't want it to grow.
Not too fast.
All right.
Thank you, John. Folks, you're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have in the studio with me this evening Michael Martin. We're talking about financial planning for recent college grads and for other people who need some tips here and there. Phone number is 610-758-8810. We have talked about a number of issues tonight about saving, being careful you're saving, getting your employer match. I briefly touched on you know, if people's first foray into investing might be through their retirement accounts. But Mike had mentioned earlier kind of a hierarchy of saving. And one of the things we talked about was, you know, first you make sure you get your employer match. Then you make sure you pay off your high cost debt. And then you want to have your emergency fund. People might have extra money then. So that extra money could go into investing. So let's talk about what someone's going to do with that extra money and how they invest, what's important for them to know when they go to invest. And some of this might apply to the retirement accounts as well. We were talking about whether someone just uses a target date fund. What are their other options? So what do they have to pay attention to when they're looking at starting to save beyond, you know, once they've taken care of those first few things?
Well, you have to think about what is the money for. So you have this extra savings. What are your financial goals? And for a lot of clients that I meet with, they'll come in and they'll say, "Well, what should I invest in?" Well, I don't know. I mean, what's your time frame? What's your goals? What's your objectives? For a lot of folks who are just starting out, it could be starting a family. It could be saving for a down payment on a home. It could be children's education. It could be a number of different things. So you have to prioritize. You have to set goals, write them down. I think it's very important to be specific. Give each of them a time frame. Identify whether it's going to be short term, medium term, long term. Put a dollar figure next to each. And then from that point, you can then create an investment strategy around the time frame, et cetera. You also need to know that investing involves risk. So anytime you're going to be investing, the market's going to go up and down. You have to think about what your tolerance is going to be for market fluctuations, not only to see what are the potential returns that you can get, but how much would you be willing to lose in a short period of time. And those who recognize that they have a long term before they're going to need money, they might feel more comfortable knowing that longer time frames can help offset any short-term market volatility. Typically, when someone's just starting out with investing, I usually don't suggest starting off buying individual companies. I think, there's 6,000 publicly traded companies out there. It's hard to pick that one that's going to really do the best. So my advice is typically to start off with an exchange-traded fund, an index fund, or a mutual fund that's going to be broadly diversified, typically no load, that's going to be easy to track the market, and that'll get you at least an experience of what the volatility is going to be like. And then, as you want to expand into certain areas, you can certainly do that. But usually index funds or ETFs are usually the first step that I would suggest.
Okay, that's great. We had a couple questions come in. We had one come in from Richard, and it was regarding required distributions from an IRA. And his example is, let's say you have $100,000 in an IRA. When starting distributions, how old would you be? I guess it would be, how old do you have to be when you start taking them? And then how much do you need to take out? And is that income on your tax return? So do you want to take a stab at some of that?
Sure.
Okay.
So we talked a little bit about the IRA, and the money that goes into an IRA is considered pre-tax. It's money that has not been taxed yet. And so what happens is, even though you're not allowed to touch it until 59 and a half, the rules from the IRS say that by age 70 and a half, you have to start taking it out. So then we're going to get some tax revenue from you. So you have to start taking some money out of your IRA. And the nice thing is they will calculate it for you. They'll show you exactly. There's some tables that you can use. But generally speaking, it's about 3.5 to 4%. I think it's 3.6 in the first year that you have to take out. And it is considered taxable as ordinary income. And it will be reported on a 1099-R, which you'll get usually in January from your investment firm.
Okay, great. And we had another caller come in, no name, but they said they're 60 years old. In two years, they will be debt free, no savings. What could you do now to save, or is it just too late? God bless this person. Okay, 60 years old, so they're working on controlling some of their debt, so that's good. So I would take a lot of encouragement in that. I think it's very good you're working on becoming debt free and you have a plan. Michael just said you want to have goals, you want to set times to that. You said in 2 years you'll be debt free, so you don't have any savings. We talked earlier about if you're going to have high credit card debt or debts, we want to make sure you're taking care of that. So it sounds like you're doing things right there. What could you do now to save, or is it just too late? So you can give some comments, and then I can give some comments.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever too late. I think, the fact that you're, I appreciate you listening, and that you're involved and you're engaged and you're willing to make some changes in your life, I think is great. When you think about the fact that you've calculated that it's 2 years until you're debt-free, you're already doing some type of planning, and so knowing that you're on the right track. Now, when you think about, it's tough to give specific advice over there, but when you think about, whether you're working and what your expenses are, I think that's a very important part. Going back to the budgeting, usually that's the diagnosis of any type of problem is usually in the budget, and you can get a piece of paper and write a line down the middle, and on the left side, write down all the things that you have to spend. The things like your food and shelter, clothing, taxes, healthcare expenses, things that you can't live without. And on the right side, write down those things that you want to be able to do, the vacations and the dining out and those extra expenses, the discretionary things. And if you're at a point where you can prioritize and you can, I'm sure you can find things, in your budget that you if it's $50 here, $100 there, that you can take and you can start to save, whether it's into a retirement account or whether it's into a savings account. But there are ways that you can save. So it's never too late.
And sometimes I'll talk to people about whether or not you could take on any part-time work, pick up, I have clients who end up taking jobs like at a greeting card store or a fast food place. And it's fun for them. It's socialization. They're doing it not always for cash flow reasons, but for other reasons, and they end up having fun doing it. And yeah. They could give you grocery money.
I had a saying that, you know, find something that you like to do and find a way to get paid for it. I asked a client this one time, and she said, you know, I really like to travel. And she was bilingual. She spoke English and Spanish. And so we talked about the idea of, you know, she was going to retire, but she still wanted to be active. And so she's thinking about getting a job on a cruise ship. She's like, she's single. She's, you know, no family. But she says, look, maybe I can go on a cruise ship. I can be, you know, a concierge. Okay. I can be a party planner. I can do something. I love the travel, and so it's a win-win. She gets to do something she loves. She gets some benefits out of it, and she's considering.
Great. So our last caller, hopefully you'll find some extra ways to find some savings. I think that was some great ideas that Mike had. People don't realize sometimes where they can tweak things here and there, and next thing you know, you have $50, and then you do that 30 days later, which Mike says you start with 30 days, then you do it another 30 days and another 30 days. So $50, then $100, then $150, and all of a sudden you've saved a little bit of money. So I think it's good that you're paying down your debt as well. But if you want to save simultaneously, if you can tweak out a little bit of money here and there, you know, you'll get yourself started on that habit of savings as well. Mike, we only have probably like 3 minutes left. I want to make sure that we cover anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners on financial planning for recent grads, anything on investing or saving, tools that they might use, websites that might be available.
Sure. A couple of things, you know, when you're thinking about you know, saving and having extra money, you want to make sure that you're investing in the right types of accounts. And so for your long-term investment goals that are for retirement, that's where your tax advantage accounts like IRAs and Roth IRAs are going to make sense. Your daily living expenses, those are going to be in a checking account. Your emergency fund, that's going to be in a savings account. For your medium and long-term goals, that'll be in a brokerage account. So you have to educate yourself about what are those different types of accounts. So even though college might be over, you still have to do your homework on what is available and educate yourself. Do your research, talk to parents, friends, talk to financial planning experts. Think about what your goals are. A few different resources I really think is a great website that, you know, obviously maybe I'm a little biased, but Schwab has an educational site. It's actually called www.schwabmoneywise.com, and it's purely an educational site. It has a lot of tools and resources, calculators, there's checklists. So if you're starting a family, if you're buying a house, if you're getting married, if you're planning for retirement, there's checklists, there's different calculators and resources on there. I think is great.
And that was SchwabMoneyWise.com?
Correct.
SchwabMoneyWise.com. Great. And I frequently mention government websites as well for different tools. Anything else that you'd like to add?
I would say I am available for personal consultations as well. So if there is anyone who'd like to get in touch with me directly, my direct phone number is 215-246-3612. And you can also email me at michael.j.martin@schwab.com.
Okay, and I thank you for coming on today. So we were talking about saving for recent college graduates, lots of tips. We talked about the hierarchy of saving that I believe Schwab has developed, this hierarchy. It's probably one of the lists that they can find on SchwabMoneyWise.com. I'm not sure.
Exactly.
But we talked about making sure that you get your employer match first, and then work on your highest cost debt second, and then third, what was third? I don't remember.
There was the emergency fund.
Oh yeah, that emergency fund. 3 to 6 months worth of emergency expenses, and then of course any additional savings you can use towards some of those goals that you write down, plan them out, have a time horizon for those and a dollar amount and start saving, and then also making sure you're doing it in the proper accounts. Kind of, it helps you organize it on paper where you're having those goals and how you're meeting those goals. Mike, I want to thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. Michael Martin, financial consultant with Schwab in Center City, Philadelphia. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. folks, I've been out for a week or so, so I'm getting my sea legs back again, trying to get back in the rhythm of working and thinking and all of that. It's been difficult, but Mike helped me do that tonight, and I appreciate it. I want to thank the listeners for calling in tonight. I love the questions. You did a great job. Thank Judy M. for being here, and John. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. And next week, I'm going to be talking about beneficiary designations and asset titling in estate planning. So estate planning, but specifically talking about beneficiary designations and asset titling in estate planning. Folks, remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.